The message that we've selected for today, entitled Song of a Silent Sky, was prepared by Pastor Roger Allen Nelson about 6 years ago while he was serving the Oak Forest, Illinois Christian Reformed Church. Dear congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, Louis Zamperini ran in the 1936 Berlin Olympics. Young and gifted, he was training for the 1940 Olympics and closing in on the fabled 4-minute mile when World War II broke out. When the United States entered the war, Louis Zamperini joined the Army Air Corps and became a decorated bombardier. On a May afternoon in 1943, Louis took off on a search mission for a lost plane, but somewhere over the Pacific, the engines failed and the plane plummeted into the sea, leaving Louis and two others stranded on a tiny raft. They drifted for weeks and for thousands of miles. They endured starvation and desperate thirst. They battled sharks that jumped into the raft to drag them off. They survived a machine gun attack from a Japanese plane. They rode out a typhoon with waves some 40 feet high. After about a month adrift at sea, one of the men died. So Louis and his partner did what they knew to do. They knelt over the body, said all the good things that they could think of to say, and then Louis wanted to give him a religious eulogy, but he didn't know how. So he recited disjointed passages that he remembered from movies, ending with a few words about committing the body to the sea. And he prayed, vowing that if God would save them, he would serve heaven forever. That said, they slid their friend over the side of the raft, and he sank into the vast open arms of the ocean. Some of you know the rest of the story. Louis Zamperini is eventually picked up by the Japanese, survives 2 years in a sadistic prisoner of war camp. He's freed when the war is over, marries, battles post-traumatic stress disorder and alcoholism, gives his life to Jesus at a Billy Graham crusade, and starts camps for kids. Unbroken, the book that tells his story is an unbelievable account of the resilience of the human spirit. What I can't shake is the image of those men adrift at sea. No hope on any horizon, the sky lost in water, as far as they can see. They wrapped their friend in tattered scraps of a sun-blistered canvas. They searched for something to say. They wanted to bless the dead with words of significance. They rummaged about in their memories. They were able to piece together a few phrases from the movies. And then under a silent sky, they offered a word to God. What would you dredge up? Left to your own devices, what would come to mind to honor life and mark death? What song is under the surface? What lyrics come to mind? Under a silent sky, what would you piece together? As you know, when Jesus hung on the cross, he called to mind the haunting opening lines of Psalm 22. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. But by night, but I find no rest. Underneath a silent sky, Jesus reached back into the collected songbook of his people, and he breathed out lyrics of despair. You would think if Jesus was going to quote a psalm, it would be the next one, Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. But in the Gospel of Mark, the only word that Jesus speaks is from Psalm 22. The only word that Jesus speaks is of abandonment. Now, what is astonishing to me is that the rest of the psalm serves as a sort of template for the crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus embodies not just the first line, but many of the other images in Psalm 22 are picked up by the gospel writers as he recounts the passion. For example, verse 7, all who see me make and hurl insults at me, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord deliver him. Verse 15, my mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Verse 16, they pierce my hands and feet. And verse 18, they divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. The gospel accounts of the crucifixion read as if the writers had Psalm 22 open in front of them, providing a pattern to tell the story. The gospel writers invite us to see the crucifixion through the filter of the psalm. So what are we to make of this? I guess first that the experience of grief, loss, loneliness, a silent sky, is not an abnormality. It's not the fault of the individual. It's not a test. It's not a failure of faith. Feeling abandoned by God is part of the whole faith. A heartbreaking, heart-wrenching cry is as much a part of faith as hope is a part of faith. Maybe you know that cry. Maybe there have been times when you were adrift, lost in anxiety and uncertainty with no sign of hope on the horizon. Maybe the uncontrollable feeling of depression was at your side and God was nowhere to be found. Maybe you have held the worst of life up to God, but all you heard was silence. This psalm makes space for that reality. It doesn't deny, doubt, or downplay it, but it recognizes that despair is part of human life. But dear friends, while a biblical faith does not offer explanations for feeling deserted by God, it does provide resources for such experiences. In Psalm 22, we are given a song that Jesus joins. We are given lyrics of lament. We are given a pattern for a sense of despair. Psalm 22 follows the pattern, the familiar pattern, of an individual expression of grief, which typically consists of five major elements. The invocation, crying out to God to listen, the complaint, telling God what's wrong, the petition, telling God what you want God to do, the remembering, calling to mind what God has done in the past, and the praise, celebrating the goodness and the sovereignty of God. Psalm 22, with a few variations and repetitions, follows that pattern. It is a pattern for a spirituality that is not learned in an afternoon or gleaned through a diet of praise songs. It takes a lifetime and probably the slow work of reading the Psalms and worship that uses the Psalms and singing the Psalms and letting the Psalms shape you. Lauren Winner was a bookish Jewish girl in cat-eye glasses who made a big splash with her memoir, Girl Meets God. It became the model for hipster spiritual autobiography, and it made her a rising star for both evangelicals and the New York Times Book Review, a combination that is hard to pull off. 10 years later, Lauren Winner is a professor at Duke Divinity School, cranking out books, has been married and divorced, and recently released a new memoir entitled Still, Notes on a Mid-Faith Crisis. This new book follows a pattern similar to Psalm 22. There are three movements. Wall, when God seems completely absent. Movement, a period of uncertainty where she measures her discontent and receives comfort from friends, scripture, and writers. And thirdly, presence, during which God is real, though still elusive. In her words, the enthusiasms of my conversions have worn off. For whole stretches since the dream, since the baptism, my belief has faltered, my sense of God's closeness has grown strained, my efforts at living in accord with what I take to be the call of the gospel have come undone. Once upon a time I thought I had arrived, now I have arrived at a middle. Now I have arrived at a middle. It is a wonderful line. Psalm 22 is not written in the rush of admiration of God, or in a gleam and glitter of a shiny, happy Jesus. Psalm 22 is written in the middle of faith, where we don't have all the answers, where you are adrift under a silent sky, when sometimes the best you can do is recall what God has done in the past. Because that is part of the pattern, there will be times of drift and depression. But even as you voice that reality to God, be reminded of what God has done in the past. Be reminded that there is deliverance. Again, from Psalm 22. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted you and you delivered them. They cried to you and you were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. A biblical faith gives voice to despair, but it does not stay there. A biblical faith knows that death is part of the journey, but it's not the end. A biblical faith cries out to God in the present, but also recites and remembers what God has done in the past. Lewis Smedes, a renowned Christian author, puts it this way. Let me share with you the pit, the bedrock of my faith on these matters, about where God is. This is how I see it. Long ago, when the best and the brightest of all the ages, our Lord Jesus, was at the end of his rope, and it felt as if God had abandoned him, he asked the same question David asked in his time of trouble. Why? Why? And he got no answer, not in words. Heaven was silent again, no answer. Dead silent. He died without an answer from God. But then, just 3 days later, before the fingers of light had filtered through the mist of the morning, before the citizens of the city had finished their second snooze, the Almighty got into the grave where Jesus lay, and the power of his creative spirit began to move inside that dead corpse. Life began to pulsate again through its dead nerves and flow like energy through its arteries, like a rush of warm power. And Jesus came alive. Jesus asked the most painful question anybody can ask of God. And the answer came, not with words, but with an action. Not in theory, but in life, in resurrection. Dear friends, may the movement of Psalm 22 shape our life together. May we have the courage and the comfort of community to cry out to God. May we be given the resources to do so. May we remember what God has done in the past, and may we call to mind the deliverance of God, the resurrection of God, and in that may we find strength and even joy to keep moving forward. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that when we feel as though we are adrift, when we are lost in anxiety, stress, and uncertainty, with no hope on the horizon, when it seems that you are nowhere to be found, that we may turn to you. Give us then the courage, strength, and the comfort to cry out to you. Help us to remember what you have done in the past. Help us to call to mind your deliverance, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, and in that may we find strength and even joy to keep moving forward. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.